Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll continue our study of the second error of the Quran in chapter 10 of the book of our study, which is titled Errors of the Quran, and we are looking at the contradictions of the Quran. In our last program, we discovered that the Quran contradicts itself concerning the Quran itself. In some places, it says that it's pure Arabic, easy to understand. Other places, it's actually not an Arabic Quran, but had many foreign languages. I mean, we are talking about 279 words. Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Syriac, Aramaic, Espanian, and other languages. These are words spread all over the Quran, which prove that really the guy who's helping Muhammad to write his Quran most likely is not an Arab. And that is exactly what we have read in the Quran when Allah defended himself concerning the statement of the people that someone is helping Muhammad to make up his Quran. And Allah said, oh, it cannot be that one. Why? Because that one is a foreigner and the Quran is written in Arabic. No, now we know maybe that one is somebody who can speak Hebrew and Syriac and Aramaic. As we see, the majority of the foreign words are in these three languages all over the Quran. Another fact about the Quran is that many of its verses are ambiguous. Only Allah can understand it. But Muslims just have to believe in it anyway. All of it. The ambiguous verses and the decisive verses. Now, today I will go quickly to share with you some of the contradictions of the Quran. For example, in Quran chapter 7, verse 28, we read, and if they commit an indecency, they said, we found our fathers doing it, and Allah has commanded us to do it. Say, surely Allah does not command with indecencies. Do you say against Allah what you do not know? The verse is very easy. That is one of the decisive verses of the Quran. I can see it. I can read it. I can understand it. I do not need to go to any Muslim scholars to tell me or to interpret or to direct me to understand the verse because it is clear Arabic. And it is easy for anyone who can read Arabic to understand. People were doing the wrong things. They were committing an indecencies. And they said the reason they committed the indecencies is because simply their fathers were doing the same thing. Their father were living in sin and they followed their fathers living in the same sin. But then they added that Allah is the one who commanded them to do these evil acts, these indecencies. So Allah is responding to their claim by saying, no, Allah does not command with indecency. And you are saying against Allah what is not true. Allah does not command with indecencies. Allah does not command for people to do evil things. That's wonderful, isn't it? Now we know that Allah in the teaching of the Quran is a just God, as Muslims claim. That is a small G-O-D, by the way. And Allah, the just God, will not punish people unjustly. That's why when we go to Quran chapter 6 and verse 131, we read the following. This because your Lord would not destroy the villages unjustly and their people were unaware. Which means Allah, the God of Muhammad, will not punish people for some sin they committed if they did not know what they were doing. And Allah is a just Allah. Allah is a just small G-O-D. And he will not punish or destroy any villages unless the warning was given and they decided to go ahead and do the sin anyway, disobeying the command of Allah, which, as we said earlier in Quran chapter 7 and verse 28, will not order or command any people to do any indecency or any sin. Now, let us see the contradiction of these two verses. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 17 and verse 16, where we find out that Allah truly does cause people to commit indecency. hear what Allah said in Quran chapter 17 and verse 16. And if we desire to destroy a village, we command its affluence so they live in transgression in it, so the word will be established against it. So we destroy it with an utter destruction. Woe, woe, woe to my dear Muslim friends who do not understand the Quran. They just believe in it without knowing what's in it. After all, Allah said He's the only one who understands the Quran. How Allah destroy a village? He destroy a village because the village chose to sin against His will and chose to live in disobedience to His command, and because Allah is a just God. No. That's not what the book of Allah, the Quran, said in Quran chapter 17 and verse 16. Once again, that verse is not an ambiguous verse. It is a clear verse in the Arabic language. And anyone who can read the Arabic language will understand exactly what Allah meant by what He said. It is a very decisive verse. We do not need any scholar of Islam to teach us what it meant, because it says what it says. And it meant what it says. If Allah desired to destroy a village, notice earlier He said He will not destroy a village unjustly. But here is the word of Allah. If He desired to destroy a village, He will command the leaders of the village. He will command the important people in the village. Commanded to do what? To live in transgression in it. And then Allah will punish the entire village because of the sin of the leaders or those who have influence in that village who sin against Allah. That is a double unjust. First of all, Allah causes the people to sin and punishes them for their sin. Second, which is more important, Allah punishes the people who did not sin in the village because of the sin of its leaders. Wow, amazing. One of the reasons Muslims do not believe in the death of Jesus Christ, because they will tell you, no one, as Allah stated in the Quran, will pay the sin of others. Jesus could not pay for my sins because it is I who have sinned against God. Therefore, Jesus down on the cross will not benefit me of anything. He could not pay for my sin. But somehow, in the word of Allah in the Quran, we see that people pay for the sins of the influence, the people who is in charge, the people who is in the leadership, the kings and the rulers of that village. This is a great contradiction. And Muhammad causes the Muslim people to disbelieve in the deity of Christ and the salvation which God offers us in Christ, because after all, no one can pay for the sin of others, when in reality Allah in the Quran, the unjust, make people sin against Him so He can punish them and others who did not even sin, simply because He desired to destroy some village. Well, let's move on to the next contradiction. Now we're talking about a story. As I shared with you earlier, the story of Pharaoh and Moses, and how as Allah repeat the story, somehow He forgot what He told Muhammad earlier, so He gave us the same story again with opposite information. For example, in Quran chapter 10, beginning from verse 90, we read the following, "And we brought the children of Israel through the sea. So Pharaoh and his host followed them insolently and with enmity, until when he," that is Pharaoh, "was about to drown." He was about to drown. He said what? Listen carefully. He said, "I believed that there is no God but Him on whom the children of Israel believed, and I am of the Muslim now. And indeed, you disobeyed before, and you were of the Vandals." So today, in verse 92, Allah continue to say, "We will deliver you with your body that you may become a sign, a miracle, a great thing, that you may become a sign to those who come after you. And surely most people are unaware of our signs." What do we learn from that verse, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen? It's very simple. The Quran in these verses are very decisive, very clear. When you read it, you do not need any interpretation from any scholars. The children of Israel crossed the sea. Pharaoh and his soldiers followed them. Pharaoh is about to drown. And he quickly cried out to Allah, "I believe in you. I believe in you to be the only true God." And now we know, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, Pharaoh became a Muslim believer. And because he repented and became a good Muslim, Allah delivered him. Allah saved him by His body. This is the clear word of Allah in Quran chapter 10, verses 90 to 92.
Muslims claim that the Quran
is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Now let me share with you the same story, not from the Bible, but from the Quran. Once again, we're going to read the same story in the Quran because the Bible is very clear. Pharaoh drowned. Pharaoh did not believe in God. Pharaoh did not become a Muslim. He was just an infidel, wicked, evil person who died disbelieving in God. And if I say that to the Muslim, they said, oh, because the Bible is wrong. The Quran is right. He was a believer. He believed in Allah. He became a Muslim and Allah saved his body and he did not drown. This is what the Quran said. We just read it. So let me read to you the contradictory passage of the Quran to that specific story. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 28, beginning from verse 38. Here is the story of Allah in the Quran. And Pharaoh said, O you the leaders, you have no other God that I know of but me. It's very simple English, isn't it? Pharaoh declared to his people that he is the only God. So kindle a fire to me, O Haman, and the mud to make to me a tower so perhaps I may go up to the God of Moses, and surely I think he is of the liars. Okay, here we go. Confusion, as always the Quran is. Muhammad makes Haman, who's Pharaoh, a good 1,000 years apart, two different kingdoms, and somehow Haman became one of the leaders of Pharaoh. Wonderful. This is really wonderful. Muhammad and those who help him to write the Quran are so smart, or we can say so stupid, because you do not know anything about the true history of the Bible. But that's okay. Forget about it. It's a mistake we're not going to concentrate on. Let's move on. The message in verse 39 says, and he became proud with his troops. Who is he here? That's Pharaoh. Pharaoh is an arrogant, he's a proud man. In the land, without the truth, he was following falsehood. He was a liar. He's not speaking the truth. He's not God, and he was a lost person. And they thought that they will not return to us. What is that? Well, that's a sentence in the Arabic Quran. If you trust me, if we go to scholars' interpretation, you come up with 10 different opinions. Who are they? Oh, these are Pharaoh and his people. Oh, no, these are Moses and his people. Oh, these are this, these are that. Confusion. Now the Quran become ambiguous book because we don't know who are they. And what do you mean they're going to return to us? But that's okay. Let's continue. Perhaps the next verse, that's verse 40, will be an easy, decisive verse, clear verse in the Arabic language. As Allah said, so we seized him. Who is him? Pharaoh. Good. And his troops. So we cast them into the sea. So see how was the end of the unjust. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pharaoh was cast to the sea. Allah did not deliver him, as Allah stated earlier in Quran chapter 10, verse 92. Yes, indeed. And he did not die as a Muslim believer, but he died as unjust man. Well, let me give you another verse. That is Quran chapter 17, beginning from verse 101. As there we read, and indeed we gave Moses 9 clear signs. Wait a minute. 9 is the right number? I thought there were 10. As a matter of fact, with the 3 he performed before his people, there are 13. But that's okay. Muhammad does not know how to add numbers. That's why he was a very miserable salesman. Maybe he lost all the money of his wife because he does not know how to add some numbers. But that's okay. Let's move on. Let's move on. What do we read after that? So ask the children of Israel when he came to them. What does this have to do with anything? Muhammad is going to go ask the children of Israel, those who died a good 2,000 years earlier? It doesn't matter. Just it's a sentence in the Quran. Come on, Brother Usama. Don't make a big deal about the word of Allah. Pass it, man. Move on. Let's keep reading. So Pharaoh said to him, I'm guessing him here is Moses. Surely I think you are bewitched, oh Moses. Oh, yes, indeed. He was talking to Moses. We got it right. Moses is bewitched. Do we read that sentence anywhere in the Bible? No. But it is a beautiful, brand new story of Moses and Pharaoh in the Quran. Let's continue. Verse 102. He said, who is he here? I guess Moses. Indeed, you know that nothing of these sent down except from the Lord of the heavens and the earth as proof. And surely I think that you, O Pharaoh, are doomed. Oh, wonderful conversation, which, by the way, never took place in the Bible. When we read the story of Moses in the Bible, which was written by the hand of Moses, Moses forgot to mention all this fabricated story of Muhammad about Moses in the Quran. But let's continue in verse 103. So he desired to expel them out of the land. Who did that? Pharaoh. God help us. Really, I need God to help me. Because the whole entire time, Moses have one message, one simple message. Let my people go. And Pharaoh have one answer, one simple answer. No, you're not leaving. But somehow here, Allah in the Quran switched the story. Pharaoh will kick the Jewish people out of his land. He hates the children of Israel and want to throw them out, which goes against everything else written in the Bible before and after this conversation. And guess what happened after that? So we, who's we here? Allah. So we drowned him and all those who were with him. Did Pharaoh drown or not? Once again, 1092, he was saved. And he was a good Muslim believer when he was about to drown. Then in Quran chapter 28, verse 40, he drowned. And he was unjust. Quran chapter 17, 103, Allah caused him to be drowned. Similar to that, what we read in Quran chapter 43 and verse 55. For there we know for sure that he also drowned. As Allah stated, so when they made us sorrowful, we took revenge on them. So we drowned them all together. You know what all means? That means the soldiers and Pharaoh, they all were drowned. So that is what we mean by contradiction in the Quran. Let me remind you of the standard which Muhammad gave to us in the Quran to know for sure if the Quran is the word of Allah or not. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 4 and verse 82. As Allah stated, do they not consider the Quran? If it was from others than Allah, they would have found in it many inconsistencies. Well, guess what? We got here the inconsistencies of the Quran. Pharaoh drowned and he was a bad dude, or Pharaoh was saved and he was a good Muslim believer. Let me share with you one more contradiction as we end this broadcast for today. In Quran chapter 40, verses 23 to 25, we read, and indeed we sent Moses with our signs and with manifest authority to Pharaoh and Haman and Karun. So they said, a lying sorcerer. So when he came to them with the truth from us, they said, kill the sons of those who believed with him and keep their women alive. But the schemes of the infidels are nothing except in error. Once again, this is a clear verse. It's a very decisive verse. The word of Allah is very clear. Moses went to Pharaoh, and then he added two wonderful people, one by the name Haman and one by the name Korun. And by the way, Muslim scholars disagree about Korun, if he is Egyptian or if he is a Jew, and if he is a good guy, he's a bad guy, but somehow Haman come in the middle, as we shared before, which have nothing to do with Egypt, nor Moses and Pharaoh. But the most important part is this, that Pharaoh was commanded to kill the sons of Moses' people, those who believed and follow Moses. When this happened, it happened when Moses was a grown-up man, according to the teaching of the Bible, when he was 80 years old. But in the Quran, there is no detail, so we do not know how old was he. But anyway, that is what took place after Moses performed the signs or the miracles before Pharaoh and his people. Let me read to you the contradictory passage of that story. That is when Allah was speaking to Moses. In Quran chapter 20, verses 38 and 39, for there we read, when we reveal to your mother what is revealed, that cast him into the ark. So cast him into the river. So the river will cast him to the shore. An enemy to me and an enemy to him will take him. And I will bestow love on you from me. And you will be made before my eyes. Notice here, the drowning of the children took place when Moses was a baby. So the contradiction we have in the Quran is here very clear. Pharaoh gives the order for the children of the Israelites, the sons, not the girls, the boys, to be drowned. But the problem we have is when this command was given. Was it when Moses was a baby? That's why his mama put him in an ark and put him to the river, as we read the story in the Quran, or as it is written accurately in the Bible. Or when Moses was a grown-up man, after he performed these 9 clear signs, did Pharaoh give the order for the drowning of the sons of the Israelites, the little boys of the children of Israel? This is a clear contradiction. Once again, let me remind you, the word of Allah is very clear. Quran chapter 4, 82. Do they not consider the Quran if it was from Allah or not? Why is that? Because if it was from others than Allah, they would have found in it many inconsistencies. And that is exactly what we found throughout the pages of the Quran. And that's exactly what we will be continuing to share with you in our next broadcast. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.